Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, I'd like to say thank you for your prayers, your encouragement, for being real, being who you are, for being faithful. We'd like to thank all the ladies and all the people that have gone through the trouble to put up with us and cook meals for us and take care of us and watch over us and pray for us and give to us. We thank you. And I'd like to encourage you ladies. Debbie, Debbie and Karen, that was a real blessing. All the singing this week has been a blessing. I can't tell you how many times that I felt a little bit discouraged that I'd got an old tape out of Open Old Ladies singing. Just put that in the old tape recorder and just listen to it, and it's really encouraged my heart. And I would encourage you ladies to make us some tapes and send them to us, and they're a real blessing to us. And a lot of times you don't think you're doing anything, but it's a real encouragement, and so we thank the Lord for you. I'd just like to read this verse here tonight. It's an old verse. It's a familiar verse, but I think Peter said many a time that it's good to put you in remembrance of these things. It's good for us to repeat some things I tell my children every time they cross the street to watch for cars. And I think it's good that we go over some things. Look over here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that ought to be enough for us, really.
Amen.
You know, if we were really believers and we were faithful, that's all we'd need for a mission conference. Just for the new ones that have come in to open up this verse and to read it, everybody realize that's the responsibility, and we'd all go home and go on with our work. But it seems like in my life and being a pastor here and dealing with people in Mexico that you really get more to it than that. You got to provoke them. You got to give them a little bit of push. You got to motivate them. You got to be a testimony. You got to be an example to stimulate people to go and preach the gospel. And that's what we're doing in Mexico. I thought of all the opportunities. I've done a lot of things. I've worked in the Air Force. I've driven an armored car. I've sold hardware at JCPenney's. I've hammered nails. I've worked at the post office. I've sold McDonald's hamburgers. I've sold Hardee's hamburgers. I've done a lot of things. I've pitched papers. There's a lot of things that a person can do. But I can't think of anything better to do than to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And you know why? That's what our Lord has told us to do. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In Mexico and around the world, we find that people are willing, lost people are willing to go and give shoes. Lost people are willing to go and give food. Lost people are willing to go and help build highways, homes. Lost people are willing to go and devote their lives to heal sicknesses. But let me tell you something, there's only a select group that can go and preach the gospel.
Amen.
We were talking this morning about what is the Christian's responsibility to the poor people. And I came to the conclusion, my own conclusion, is that I only have a certain amount of money, and there's a lot of people in the world that they're concerned about poor people. They're willing to give to poor people. They're willing to help out poor people, saved and lost. There's a lot of people willing to do that. But there's a very few people that are willing to invest their time and their money and their finances into getting the gospel out and preaching the gospel. And so I decided in my life, that's where I want my money to go. I want my money to go into the gospel to save souls for eternity. I preach a lot in Mexico, a lot of times in Timothy, where it talks about the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. And I think about, I give this example. I said, you know, my daddy, when I was young, he always wanted me to go to the university. That's where I'd get wise. That's where I'd get my wisdom. And I thought about it. I went to the university, and they told me, well, your daddy's a chango. Your daddy's a monkey. I thought, well, you know, I think somebody really messed up somewhere along the line here. You know, a lot of people going to universities become doctors, become whatever, and they are putting their education to use. But you know what? It's all going to be in vain. Because all the computer programs that you do, all the mail you sort, all the hamburgers you cook, all the ailments that you heal, everybody's still going to die. And they're still going to face God.
Right.
And so you know what I've devoted my life, and all these missionaries that come before you this week and will come before you in the days to follow, we have devoted our lives to get the gospel out so that they can spend eternity with God.
Amen.
And brethren, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our responsibility. Nobody else can do it. God didn't ordain the angels to do it. God didn't ordain other beings that He created to do it. He ordained us to go and preach the gospel. Amen. And He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know, I think about the world. I've said this many a times. Every one of us has our own world. A lot of times we think, well, you know, I can never make it to Africa. Or I can never make it to Russia. Or I can never make it to Germany. Or I can never make it to Honduras. Or I don't think I could survive in Mexico. I just don't think I can do it. But my friend, you have a world that you live in that you can reach and you can preach the gospel in your world. I think of the magazines. I go in and read all the magazines. It says PC World. Marine World. Everybody has their little world that they live in. I thought about Nelda. She was giving her testimony the other night. How she spoke from her kitchen, cooking and potatoes. And I thought about, well, there's her world. That she can reach out and preach the gospel in her world, in her environment, that she can contact people. And you know what he says? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I, as a computer programmer, I can deal with people and talk with people about computer programming, and we can talk, and you, the rest of you people, you think, well, what in the world are you guys talking about? Because that's our world. We know about it. I can talk to you about, in chess lingua, chess is a game for men. Checkers is a game for boys, by the way. Little boys play checkers, men play chess. Yes, yes. When I know I got kids, I have to let them win, otherwise they cry. But anyway, what I'm saying is we each have our world that we can reach people. And I, as a missionary in Mexico, I'm not going to reach some of them truck drivers. I'm not going to reach some of them housewives. I'm not going to reach some of them mothers that you as a mother can reach. I'm not going to reach some of them school teachers that you as a school teacher can reach. I'm not going to reach some of them carpenters as you as a carpenter can reach. I'm not going to reach some of them people where you work and where you labor, because that's not my world and they're not going to let me in. But they let you in.
Amen.
And you can preach the gospel.
Amen.
And I believe Brother Robert, what's your last name, brother? Watts. He was talking to us. You know, preaching, a lot of times we have this concept of preaching as a guy that beats on the pulpit and points fingers and yells and screams and all that kind of stuff. But you know what it says over there in Acts chapter 8? It says that Philip went up to that eunuch and he got up in his chariot with him and began preaching Jesus unto him from the very same scripture. Now, you think he was beating on the pulpit? He didn't have a pulpit. But he preached the word unto him. What is preaching? Preaching is opening your mouth and talking to people. Opening your mouth, whether it be in a loud voice, whether it be in a soft voice, whether it come from the mouth of a woman, or whether it come from the mouth of a man, it is announcing, it is giving the gospel, somebody from your heart, from your mouth, being real, as Brother Joey said, and giving the gospel to them, giving them the word of God. You and I can do it. Every one of us can do it. A 16-year-old boy can do it. A 10-year-old boy can do it.
Amen.
I thought about the scripture and how that Paul and the apostles, they made a tremendous impact on all the world. You know what? They didn't have a printing press. They didn't have a television. They didn't have a radio. They didn't have a car. They didn't have an airplane. They didn't have all these modern conveniences. They didn't have all these modern methods that we talk about. And yet they affected the world.
Right.
You know why? Because everywhere they went, they opened their mouths and they preached the gospel. The Bible says that they sat there in Jerusalem, and that Paul, before he got saved, he persecuted them, and God used them, and the Bible says that they went out everywhere, both men and women, preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And the whole world was filled with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The gospel was made notorious. People knew, people heard about the gospel. Why? Because somebody told one man, and that man told another man, and that man told another man, and that person told another person, and that woman told her friends, and her friends told, and went all the world. You know what? I passed out a lot of gospel tracts in my lifetime. I don't know if we showed that video of the parades of millions of people filling the streets. We've literally passed out thousands of tracts. We've printed the gospel in newspapers and magazines many a time. But you know what God said? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm for gospel tracts. I'm for somebody using a TV. I'm for somebody using a radio. I'm for using whatever method you have. I'm for that. I'm for you. I'm glad you can use it. I'm glad you can use puppets. I'm glad you can paint your face and parade around downtown and give the gospel out and mime or whatever. I'm glad you can do that. But you want to know something? God said, go and preach
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen.
Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I've thought about this many a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now I know that preaching seems foolish. It seems foolish even to Christians at times to preach. Isn't there isn't there an easier method to do it? Isn't there, can't we just slide it to them? Can't we somehow just get it to them so they won't get all shook up? But God says the preaching of the cross of Calvary is the power of God. Notice down here also in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Some people say, how can I please God? A lot of the brethren in Mexico, a lot of the brethren here have asked me time and time again, how in the world can I please God? What is it? What is the method? What is the formula? They're always looking for that. I know I've looked for it many times myself. What is that? What is that formula? What is that method that we can please God? What does he say here? It pleased God. Here it is. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
It says here that God is pleased in saving people by this old method.
That's right.
By this antique method. By this dinosaur method.
Amen.
God has been pleased, has been gratified in saving people by the foolishness of preaching. And so that's what we've dedicated our lives to, is preaching the gospel. And we preach the gospel, we preach it boldly. Now I want to let you know something. Everybody in Aguascalientes is not a believer. Everybody in Aguascalientes probably will not be converted. But you know what? They've heard about us.
Amen.
They've heard about us. Now what have we done? We haven't got on the TV one time. We haven't got on the radio one time. We'd like to. That'd be nice. I'd like to get on the TV. I'd like to get on the radio. But we've gone consistently day after day and put ourselves in the plazas in downtown Aguascalientes and we preached the gospel the best way we knew how, and the gospel has been made notorious and people have heard.
Amen.
God has chosen that way to preach. We are to preach the gospel. And brother, we need some preachers.
Right.
We need some people with some boldness that will go into their world and they'll preach the gospel. We need some people with some boldness that go out in USAA and stand up and say, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some people that go into their cafeterias, their job, and they'll sit down with their co-workers and they'll say, I'd like to announce unto you Jesus Christ. We need some women that would talk with their neighbors instead of talking about all the things they talk about. They'd open up the Bible and say, I'd like to tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
We need some young people that go to their schools, their high schools, their junior highs, and say, yes, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you got to stand up in the middle of the street somewhere like we do. There's very few people that can do that. There's just not too many people that are willing to do that or can do it. But let me tell you something. Every one of us can stand up and give the Word of God to our co-worker, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our families. Every one of us can do that. And God has commanded that we all preach the gospel to every creature.
Right.
Now, I know that the Catholic Church, they think there's only a certain people that can go and minister to people. And they have priests that they send to their seminaries and say, well, these are the select people. And I'm afraid that in the churches today, we've gotten that, fallen in that same area. We've fallen the lead of the devil. And we think, no, you have to go to college before you can preach. You have to go to seminary before you can preach. You have to pass a certain course before you can preach. I think, how many people have wasted years, and they never do get to preach?
That's right.
I had a rare opportunity to preach in a church here in San Antonio. I believe it was last year they invited me. I mean, being around here, you know, you just get sort of a flag goes up around you and just follows you around and says, beware, beware, you know. You just don't get invited everywhere coming out of Oak Knoll. But I was invited, and I preached, and afterwards I opened it up for questions and answers, and they had a lot of questions, and I had a lot of answers. And one of the questions was, why isn't, an older lady, a dinosaur, She said, she said, I have a feeling, sir, that you're not a Southern Baptist. You know, and I didn't want to offend the people. You know, here I am in the church, you know, and they invited me, and they were so kind to let me come and preach. You know, here I am in a hot spot, you know. So what do you say? I said, well, I said, you have perceived correctly. And she says, well, why is that? And you know me, I'm very tactful. I don't want to offend anybody. I want to be considered. After all, Brother Lindell taught me everything. I know he just... And I said, well, I says, the way I understand it, to be a Southern Baptist missionary, you have to complete a minimum of 4 years of college. You have to give, I believe, 2 years or so many years of seminary. You also have to give so many years of minister work in the United States, being a co-pastor somewhere. I says, that just adds up too many years for me, and I felt like I needed to get down there and preach the gospel. And that lady says, well, amen, I believe that too, you know. And of course, the pastor's sitting over there, and I don't know, well, anyway. Needless to say, I was never invited back, but. But what am I saying? I'm saying a lot of times we've deceived ourselves into thinking that what God demands of us is an education, is a method, is a manner, or whatever. What He has said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. Most of you are not going to go to Mexico. Most of you are not going to go to Mexico. All of us can't go to Honduras. All of us can't go to Brazil. I'd like to go to Germany. I think about that opening up, man. Here's some people that just never had a chance. I'd like to go over there. I'd like to go to Russia. So I think about having to learn that language. But all of us can't do that. But we can preach the gospel where we're at in our little world. You can do it. You just believe God. That God's called you to preach the gospel to your friends, to your neighbors. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to give you some old verses tonight. After all, we're almost all dinosaurs. He says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now you know what it says there? God's saying, you got to do it according to the rule book.
That's right.
Now, I can beat that guy in checkers. If you just let me bend the rules. Just let me have a flying king, man. I'd wipe him out, man. Let me play him according to the Mexican rules. I'd get me a king and I'd fly across that board and I'd take every checker he had. But you know what? That's not the rules. There's many a people that are bending God's rules. And the Bible says that we are not crowned except he strive lawfully.
Amen.
And I think about what Paul said. I believe he said it over there in the Philippians. Ye are my crown of rejoicing. God says we got to do it His way.
Right.
Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Brethren, we are fishers. And you know what? Now, Brother Jim, a good friend of mine, Brother Jim McAllister is here. I was really glad to see him. What a blessing to see old friends again. He's a Marine Patrol. If we could get up here and have him tell all the rules about fishing. You know, there's a lot of rules. You just can't fish any way you want. You just can't go out there in a boat and drop dynamite over the side and say, well, man, look at all the fish I'm getting, man. And it just works, don't it? It works. I've had many a preacher tell me, well, they got saved. They got saved because God is gracious.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You want to be a commercial fisherman and you don't care about rules and regulations, you can catch a lot of fish. You can catch a lot of fish that way. But God says you're not going to be crowned unless you strive love. Let me tell you something. Commercial fishermen also do a lot of damage. They go out there in their nets, they don't care what happens. They say, man, I'm out for the money, I want to come in the big haul, I want to give the big report. And they go in there and a lot of things are destroyed. I think about many a preacher that they didn't care about God's rules, they didn't care about what God said, they were out for the report, they were out for the numbers, they were out for the glory, they were out for the money or whatever. They didn't do it God's way and a lot of things were destroyed. Many a time they've said to us, you know, 20 years ago, you could have never done this in Mexico. And Billy said one time, I said, well, there wasn't nobody doing it 20 years ago. How do you know? What if there was somebody doing it 20 years ago? Maybe we wouldn't be having to doing it today.
That's right.
Maybe we could be going to Russia. Maybe we could be going somewhere else. But because somebody didn't do it 20 years ago, we've got to do it the right way today. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, that was all free. Okay? That was free. Now I'm going to go to my message. Romans chapter 1. What motivates me to be a preacher? Why do I preach the gospel and why should you preach the gospel?
He says in verse 14, in Romans chapter 1, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to know the first reason, I back that up. I'm not going to put any order on it. One of the reasons that I am a missionary and one of the reasons I preach the gospel is because I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ that gave His life, that suffered abuse, that suffered the cross of Calvary, that suffered the spitting, the buffeting, the name calling, the ridicule, that suffered the torture, that suffered the debt. I'm a debtor to my Lord Jesus Christ because He saved me. He was the first missionary that left the glories of heaven.
Amen.
He came to a world. He came to my world and He died for me. I'm a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I preach the gospel, when we preach the gospel in Lima, Guanajuato, or we preach the gospel at Aguas Calientes, and somebody comes up to us and they spit on us, I bet they spit on me. Or they throw eggs at us, or they throw tomatoes at us, or they throw rocks at us. Or whatever they do, I think I'm a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer these things because He suffered them for me. And I think also I'm a debtor to a young girl that came into my world at Hardee's Hamburgers and told me about Jesus. I think about growing up as a young man. I was baptized. I went to confirmation classes as a Lutheran. I went to the whole religious spiel. I went to church every once in a while. You know, I believed in God. I had a Bible. Never read it, but I had one. I was the average American Christian. I didn't reject God, but I didn't know Him. I knew not God. And I was without hope in this world. I was rebellious to my parents. I can't say that I respected my parents. I was very rebellious. They thought I was a pretty good kid because I didn't ever let them know what I was doing. I pulled the wool over their eyes. But I think about that time, some 16 years ago. Unbelievable. Sitting in Hardee's Hamburger after an automobile wreck accident. And Gwen Higgins saying, Brent, aren't you saved? I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean, ain't I saved? And she began opening up the Word of God and showing me the first time some of God's promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And like a light. I remember sitting back, as I reflect back, I remember sitting one time walking my friends, all my dope addicts, friends. I wasn't a doper myself, but I ran with them. I thought, we're going to go do this. We're going to go rob some of this or whatever. I thought, no, tonight I just don't want to go. And I remember sitting down underneath a tree just thinking, well, this is kind of boring. This is just, what is the meaning of life? What is the reason? And some 2 months later, having my eyes open, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that saves people.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ that fills that empty soul. It's Jesus Christ that has the living water. It's Jesus Christ that satisfies.
Amen.
And when I saw that, I just couldn't believe it could be so simple. I just could not believe. Are you sure this is God's Word? Are you sure this is what it says? And I went home that night, 11, 12, I don't even remember what time it was, December 23rd, 1974. And I said, God, I'm going to hold You to Your Word right here. You said if I'd call upon You, You'd save me. I'm calling. You saved me. You know what? Earth didn't tremble. And I didn't get the gift of tongues or the gift of singing. So I got saved. I got saved.
Amen.
And back then, you know what? Gwen Higgins was a Christian. And her idea of Christianity was clothes, how you dressed, how you had your hair cut, what school you attended. And so that was my concept of Christianity. And I put myself into that. And I remember walking in the halls of a Christian school, thinking about these people, they didn't want to be there. I thought, well, why not? I mean, God saved us. This is where we're living, what we're supposed to be doing. And I remember the very first time sitting in a Bible class. I had no idea about the Bible. I didn't know the Old Testament or the New Testament. I had no idea. And I remember sitting down and taking the very first test, the very first day of school they had a test, and they asked us to quote John 3:16. Of course, all them kids had it memorized all their life and didn't even affect them. And I had no idea. But here was a test and I had to answer it and I just made up something. I didn't know what it was. I just made up something. Well, you know, God did this and all they thought that was the biggest thing in the world. Here's what do you think this is? You don't know John 3:16? No, I don't know John 3:16. I have no idea what John 3:16 is. What is? No, everybody knows what John 3:16 is. I said, no, I don't know what John 3:16 is. No, everybody. I said, no, I don't. I think about it. There's a whole lot of people that just don't know.
John 3:16.
I think about all of Mexico. Them people, they have Bibles. They pay a tremendous amount of money for a Catholic Bible. But they don't know John 3:16. They don't know Romans 10:13. They don't know these precious promises that God has given to them. They don't know. And so I've given my life for them because I'm a debtor. And I remember in that same class where I really think that God, Debbie was talking about how God works with us. Remember that same class, it was in a Bible class, everybody had to preach. And I thought, preach? I don't even know the Bible. How am I going to preach? So I was very nervous. And everybody began, all these young students began preaching. Everybody went before me. I was going to be the last one. They were going to let me go last. It was sort of a contest at the end of the year, and I was very nervous, and I preached. And I won the contest. I said, oh, well, you know, okay. They said, well, now you're going to have to preach before the whole school. What? Oh, no, I can't do that. And so I preached before the whole school. Well, I could go into many things. I could look back and see how God had his hand upon me and dealing with me and bringing me to a point until I reached Aguas Calientes. I thank God for that, and I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to Gwen Higgins because she told me. I'm a debtor to people that have ministered to my life. I'm a debtor to this man here. I'm a debtor to some of you that have been a blessing to me, that have gone out faithfully. And brethren, I thought this morning that I'm a debtor to somebody's brother.
Right.
Somebody's brother. I'm a debtor. You know, that really touched my heart. Look over in Luke chapter 16. Somebody's brother hadn't heard. Have you heard this story before, Luke chapter 16, where the rich man went to hell? I know some of you don't even believe in hell, but this man went to hell. And he went into hell, and there he began crying out for mercy, crying out for some water, screaming that he was tormented. And the response was, you're not going to have any mercy. You're not going to have any water. There's no hope for you. There's no way for us to even get to you. You've lost. You're damned. You're going to burn, and you're going to be tormented for the rest of the days of your life. And so the man ceases to cry out for himself, and he says, what about my brother? Huh? Look at down in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers. My father this. Why didn't you guys had this gospel for so long? Why is it that nobody came and told my granddad? Why is it that my granddad is in hell tonight? Because nobody told them. I think about the people in hell and their brothers and their mothers and their sisters and their family and their friends. That they don't want them to come to this place of torment. And although all their lives they didn't believe in hell, they're believers now. And all their lives they didn't want anything to do with God, but oh, they'd wish they had a chance to do something with God now. I think that I'm a debtor to them to go and bring the gospel to their home, their brother's home. And I thought about that this morning. I thought how many times I'd just sort of given up on some people. I thought, oh, I wonder if their brother wanted me to give up. I wonder if their loved one somewhere would have wanted me to treat them and just shrug them off and say, well, you know, I'm done with you. Let me tell you something. Preaching the gospel every day gets boring sometimes. You say, oh, no, that's blasphemy, somebody's going to say. You do it day in and day out and day in and day out. Somebody says, I'd like to be a missionary because missionary life, man, it's exciting. I mean, you get to do something new. Yeah, about the first week. It's all new the first week. It's like any other job. It's all new the first week. But then here comes the everyday. You know, you got to get out of bed every day and face it over and over again. We gotta go preach to them brick walls. Sometimes we think, well, why bother? Nobody's even out. Knocking on the same doors. The same stupid responses. The same bad attitude. The same pretext every day. There's nothing new underneath the sun. We run across the same thing day in and day out. And sometimes we just get unmotivated. I'm being honest with you. Sometimes we just say, well, you know, not today. I just don't, you know. And sometimes we go and we just don't have all the umpteen. And so I have to come back. I'm glad that we sang that song this morning. I'm glad for the blessing that we got out of this morning to motivate me again to think that's somebody's brother there.
That's right. Amen.
I think about the times in my own life because I have a lost family in Michigan. I think about them. I think about times I've gone there and I pleaded with some pastors to go by and visit them. You know, I sometimes wonder, did they say it right? Did they go there? Did they give up on them? Did they give it everything they had? Did they really try? Was they really praying? Were they really in the spirit? Did they do it all? Did they go back? Did they give him another chance? I think, my, did they do everything they could to win my brother and my mother and my father, the Lord? That kind of motivates you. Brother, this is a motivation conference.
Right.
You want some modern terms? You know, we're motivating here. Not only am I a debtor to some of these people in hell, but I think I'm a debtor to some of you and some of them Mexicans' families that are believers. I remember driving into León, Guanajuato when I first went down to the language school, driving in to see Bill and everybody coming up from language school. And I thought, we looked down here in this valley. And I thought, well, man, who's ever going to reach them? You didn't even road down there. Who's ever going to get the gospel them people? How in the world? I wonder if, Lord, is anybody ever going to get them the gospel? And you know what? 2 years later, we'd covered that whole place. And I remember driving in again. Every time I go past it, I think about that time. I said, Lord, who's going to reach them? We got down there in one of these houses way back in there. And there's a brother that says, you know, we've been praying somebody come back here and preach. I think I'm a debtor to some people that have been praying that God would send somebody to go and tell their neighbors, tell their friends, and be a bold witness. I think I'm a debtor. I think what Jesus said, he said, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white on the harvest.
Amen.
I think about that. Well, what happens, you know, Brother Mike, he's a farmer. I've asked him, what happens when it's raining, you can't get your trucks out there, and you got your corn all ready to go? He said, you just lose it. It just goes to waste. If you don't get out in the field at a certain time and get the corn picked, you just lose it. And Jesus said to them disciples over there in John chapter 4, when he was sitting there dealing with that woman at the well, he says, I have meat to eat you know not of. He says, I want you to lift up your eyes because I think you forgot something. I think you've gotten this attitude that, you know, well, 4 months down the line, we're going to get out there and hit the harvest. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes right where you're at.
Amen.
I think there's a mistake that many of us make. Well, someday when I get to the mission field, boy, I'm really going to get at it. I think we need to lift up our eyes where we're at. When we walked into HEB and did our shopping to get our food, and we walked out the door and we forgot that, hey, field's white on the harvest right where we're at. I think that's what Jesus was talking about over there. I think about them disciples, you know, they went in there and get some food for their old tummy, but they forgot about the spiritual food. They forgot about them people starving spiritually and have a famine of the Word of God, as one brother said. They walked in and walked out, concerned about their stomachs and unconcerned for their souls, for whatever reason. I think about Jesus, him saying, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. I think it's God's concern that laborers go and preach the gospel. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to close with this. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Paul had something in him that told him, I have to preach the gospel. I just got to do it. Woe is in me if I don't. And brother, that's what I have. I got something in me that says, I have to preach the gospel. Now, to be honest with you, there's been times when I thought, well, I'm kind of tired of this stuff. Why is it everybody else, you know, everything has going good for them? And, you know, I'm down here and, you know, you get to go through those valleys. I come back to verses like this as God begins to speak and say, well, what else are you going to do?
Amen.
What else are you going to do? And woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Brethren, so we've given our lives to preach the gospel. I'm sure there are men that do it better. I'm sure there's men that can speak better Spanish than I can. But you know, they're sitting home.
Right.
And doing nothing. One of the frustrating things for me is to see some of these Mexican brethren that can speak Spanish good. It's amazing how good they speak Spanish. They just got the gift. Somehow they got the gift. And they got the gift of God to preach. And they can expound the scriptures, but they just sit at home and do nothing. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Brethren, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to preach the gospel. That ought to be enough.
Amen.
I'm serious. It ought to be enough.
Amen.
That God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Have you been called? Yeah, you've been called. You've already been called. God's already given the command. Now the question is, are you going to do it? That's what this conference is all about. Are you going to do what God's told you to do? I'm trying to. My family wants to. These other brothers, they're doing it. Are you? Are you doing your part? Are you reaching your world? Are you preaching the gospel? Do you realize you're a debtor? Well, praise the Lord.